The scary thing is that I actually have 6 pages of notes. Some of them are front and back. Let me explain why that is. Those of you that are in the young adults class know that we've been studying Christian character for, this is our 5th week, actually. I had every intention of this subject being done by now. However, if you remember last week, we started to talk about some questions that some of you had. So it kind of leaves me in an interesting spot this morning for those of you that are normally up here in this class, because I'm in the 5th lesson of probably 5, now maybe 6. And basically, the thing that I'll tell you is that we're going to be talking about Christian character. I will review for the benefit of those that haven't been sitting downstairs in our class very quickly what we've talked about. I'm only going to take a few minutes to do that. And then we'll see how far we get, because where we are is talking about questions that a couple of the students in the class had about Christian character. So we're just going to talk about those today. I was debating doing the class downstairs because this particular sort of class is actually a little better done with some class discussion kind of thing, and this room does not lend itself to class discussion. So while I may ask you some questions, the good news is that you're kind of off the hook with having to think too hard and answer a lot of questions this morning. So that's good for you. Not so good for me. Anyways, let's start off with some prayer, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what we've talked about so far in this class. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord, for Sunday school. Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you show us in your word, Lord, the way you'd have us to live our lives. You show us the character of Christ, Lord, and other good godly men and women. Lord, and we just want to pray this morning that you would help us to develop good godly character. Lord, help us to conform to the image of Christ. Lord, help us to understand what that means this morning. Help us to, Lord, just get a little closer to being like Christ this morning, Lord, because of what we learned today. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd help me and the other teachers in the building this morning to just be able to speak clearly, to convey the message from you as you would have it done. Lord, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, five weeks in 5 minutes. You ready? First thing we started talking about in the class was just character. We didn't define it as Christian character. We actually just defined it as character. What is character? And according to Webster's Dictionary, it's defined as the attributes or features that make up and distinguish a person or group. Okay. As it happens with dictionary definitions, it's a very, very broad thing. So basically, it's the thing, the attributes or features that distinguish a person or group. So you can have good character, you can have bad character. Okay, you can have what we call Christian character, and that would be what distinguishes the Church of Jesus Christ as His church, our character. We came up with another definition, or I came up with another definition after kind of having some class discussion, and this is how I've always defined character. I'm not saying I have the best definition that there is out there, but here's what I think it is. I believe that character, or a person has good character, when he or she consistently does the right thing, because it's the right thing to do, according to God, of course, when we're talking about Christian character. And especially when there are reasons or temptations to not do the right thing. Okay? So a person of character is one that consistently does the right thing according to God. And there's a lot of different types of character described in the Bible. We talked about those, about how being humble and loving and meek and merciful and obedient. And we ended up listing about 20 different character traits that we would define as good Christian character. After we understood what Christian character was, we then went and talked about some verses that are in 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me just read you a couple of those verses, and I'm not going to reteach it for those of you that have been sitting in the class, because we've kind of gone over it several times now. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, Now, if we want to be partakers of the divine nature, if we want to be like Jesus Christ, we have to develop the same types of character traits that Christ did. And the Bible says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and then verse 5 says, and beside this, giving all diligence, and those of you that are Bible readers, I hope are familiar with this verse, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godless brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So in the context of character, what we basically learned here is that God tells us when it comes to we have our faith, once we become Christians, we're supposed to add to our faith several different things here. And what these are things that we can add to our character, like virtue. We can become a virtuous person. Most importantly here, though, it says in verse 5 and in verse 10 there that we are to give all diligence to that effort. In other words, that's a top priority for God. He wants us to do that with all diligence. And we talked in one of the classes about what that meant. Then in the next class, we talked a little bit about what our responsibilities are about developing our character. I mean, that we do have the responsibility to develop our character. We have the responsibility as parents. I don't think anybody would disagree. We have the responsibility as parents when you have children to help develop your child's character. You set boundaries for your child. You help them develop what we hope becomes good character. Because one of the things that we talked about is that character really is a matter of training and discipline. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Well, okay, that works for children. Now, what happens is children either learn that, they learn some good character from their parents, or they don't because the parents don't set proper boundaries or don't enforce the boundaries, or children rebel against the rules or the boundaries their parents set. And then they end up being sometimes adults without good character. Their parents may have tried and failed. Their parents may not have tried at all. Or the parents may have succeeded for a while, and then when the child gets out on his own, he rebels against all the things that he's learned and becomes a person of what we would call bad character. So the point is that character is this matter of training and discipline. So if there's a person that gets to the point of being an adult now with bad character traits, they too have a responsibility to develop the character. One of the things that we're very careful about saying here is that we all have character flaws. There isn't any one of us that's perfect. The Bible's very clear about how God sees man. We are a very imperfect creature. We're only made perfect in Christ. And when it comes to the development of our character, which we have that responsibility to do as adults, you never arrive. It's your responsibility to continue to work on that. And as we said from 2 Peter there, you're supposed to give all diligence to that because that's what God wants you to do to conform to the image of Christ. So without getting too far into that lesson, we talked about that responsibility to develop character. And then we talked about, again, this requirement of diligence, where we actually listened to a sermon by David Gibbs that really talked about this. And again, I'm just going to leave it there just for the purposes of today rather than recovering the same information again. After that that sermon by David Gibbs, and I think the class had a good feel for what exactly it is that we're talking about in character, what things we need to do, or what traits we mean when we talk about Christian character. Then after that, I think it was after the third class, I had a couple of the students actually ask me some questions, which were excellent questions. And we started talking about that last week. Now, as often goes with class discussions, we really don't seem to get very far because, you know, one question raises another question. And that's the nature of things like this. And I'll tell you what the questions are here in a second. The nature of things like this are that there's no one pat answer. Being the engineering type of person, I like everything to fit in a nice little slot, and I like things to be black and white, and they're not always that way. And the answers to these questions are that way as well. So as we start going through this today, what I want you to understand is I will have some guidelines for you, some kind of rules of thumb that you can use in relation to the answers to these questions. But they aren't the be-all, end-all. Here's what you should do in every case. I can't tell you that. That's why the scriptures are as long as they are, I think. That's why there's so many of them, because there's so many different things that God wants us to understand. So let me tell you what the questions are to begin with. First question. Well, I actually added one because it did come up in one of the classes. But there's a progression here that's important. First question is, how do I, as an individual, as a Christian, how do I develop better Christian character? That's also one that I'm not going to talk a lot about today. We talked about that some in our previous classes. And those are the things that you hear preached and taught in churches all the time. There are things like, if I want to develop Christian character, for example, maybe I have good character in general, but I know that I have this one area of my life where I have a flaw in my character that I would really like to correct. How do you go about changing that? Well, first of all, you got to realize you can't do that. You need God to do that. Okay, that's the first thing you got to understand. And your first step then, of course, is to what? Ask God. Pray to God. Ask Him to help you understand what it is you can do, because since you can't change it, I need God to guide me. I need the Holy Spirit to convict me. Even sometimes we have character flaws that we know we have, but we don't want to change. I like this thing about myself that I can, you know, and it's not really such a good character trait. The second thing is, you need to learn what makes for good character in God's eyes, right? If you want to, you can pray and ask God to reveal to you the things that you need to change to be more like Christ. He can do that during your prayer time. He can do that as you read the Bible. So again, it's the stuff you hear all the time. Pray, read the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, that tells you right there that if you got something you want to correct, you need to be reproved or in some cases rebuked about something about your character. Well, pray, read the Bible. Third one, go to church. Those of you that are here, that's what you're doing here. You're hopefully trying to learn something from God's Word about how you can become a better Christian. The second question, and this is where we're going to kind of start off now that it's 10 minutes in. The second question is, if I see character flaws in others, should I try to correct them? I can look around and I see different answers already, people nodding their head, people shaking their head. And it's not that black and white. You can't say yes or no. I can give you examples in both ways. It's a very complicated question. Let me give you the next questions before I address that one. So if I see character flaws in others, should I try to correct them? And we're speaking specifically about Christian character now. So we're those of us that are saved in the room are Christian brothers and sisters, and hopefully we're all working on becoming more godly in our lives. I mean, our theme all year long has been godliness. Hopefully that's something that you've set in your life as a goal. So now comes the question, well, okay, I'm working on myself, but what if I see somebody else? What do I do about that? Do I have a responsibility to correct another Christian? The answer is it depends. Okay. The next question would be, if I am led by the Holy Spirit to help someone correct a character flaw in someone else, how do I do that? What's the approach? And then the fourth question really is, what if the person, say I do help a person, I'm led by the Holy Spirit, I've figured out a way to go about trying to help somebody else, and I approach that person and find a way to kind of interject myself and help this person understand this flaw that I see and offer to help them, then what if the person listens, says that they'll change, and then they don't? What do I do about that? What is it God wants me to do about that is the better question. Okay, those are all hard questions, and we probably won't get further than the first one today. So, like I said, those of you in my class, we got a sixth week next week. This is why, now you can start to see why. With these questions, this is one of the reasons that I like the kind of the format we have downstairs with a class discussion, because right now, I'm sure you've all thought of all different little examples of things. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Oh, he's going to say this, and that's not right because this could happen. Well, you're right. I don't know it all. I can't answer all the questions black and white. Everything doesn't fit into a nice little slot, and it's hard. But there are some things that I can teach you today, I hope. Okay, so let's go to this question. If I see character flaws in others, should I try to correct them? Well, the first place I go, well, let me back up. The first thing I want to say to you is, if you're not doing the first one, the first question was, how do I develop better Christian character traits in myself? I pray, I read the Bible, I go to church. If you're not doing those, the answer to the second question is no. No. However, say you are a person trying hard, you're praying, you're reading your Bible, you're coming to church, you're really letting God work on your heart, and you see a character flaw in others, should I try to correct it? Well, to answer that question, the first place I always try to go is God's Word. So I say to myself, is there examples of believers rebuking, reproving one another in the Bible? And we define what rebuke and reprove mean in another class. But it basically means approaching somebody about a flaw, approaching them and addressing them to their face about a flaw in them. That's what that means. So are there examples of believers in the Bible? And we talked about that in our class, and we came up with a couple. Actually, a couple of the people in my class came up with some examples that I didn't spend a lot of time researching it, but they came up with some good ideas of things that I hadn't thought about. For example, one of the students mentioned that Ananias and Sapphira. Remember when they sold the land and they had the money and they did not give all that money to God. They kept some back and then they lied about it. Well, there was a rebuke by other Christians at the time. Now, they didn't have time to deal with that. They ended up, God killed them, so that was that. But there was another example where Paul rebuked Peter. Look in your Bibles at Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 11. It says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, which is exactly what rebuke means, because he was to be blamed. Now, who wrote the book of Galatians? Paul. Okay. Paul, a believer, writing to Peter, or talking about Peter. And he withstood him to the face. So here's an example of a believer rebuking another believer. Okay, so let's see what we can learn from this one. Verse 12, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw them, or when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? I'm going to stop right there. This is the thing that always amazes me. I don't know why it amazes me, but if you remember, those of you in my class, last week we talked about that, and then in the morning service, Pastor preached on that. This was an example where Peter, he actually, maybe it was Sunday night, I don't remember when Pastor preached about it, but this is an example of where Peter was kind of wrapped up in this thought in the New Testament church. Early on, there was a thought by many of the Jews that you needed to be circumcised to be saved. Okay, and what this example was, was Paul rebuking Peter for doing that. It says here that before, in verse 12, that before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. In other words, Peter accepted the Gentile Christians at the time. But then, when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those that were of the circumcision. Because they were fighting against, or they were fighting, saying that you needed to be circumcised to become basically a Jew before you could be saved. That's what they were teaching. Some people were teaching erroneously. And Paul was rebuking Peter about that. That's what this passage is about. And again, it's just an example, but one of the things you can learn here, as it says in verse 14, is that Paul said unto Peter, he went, and it says in verse 11 that he withstood him to the face. In other words, he went to Peter himself and spoke to him about this. Okay, so there's one thing that you can learn. And I don't want to dwell too much on what the example was here. It's just the fact that, okay, there is an example here of somebody, a Christian, rebuking another Christian. So now if you go back to the question, if I see a character flaw in others, should I try to correct them? Well, Paul did. Okay, just an example. Christ did it a lot. Now, we use Christ as our example, but you got to be very careful when it comes to rebuking, don't you? Christ has the authority as God himself to rebuke people. That you're not God, I'm not God. So you got to be very careful about that. So I'll use Christ as an example, but not in the question of whether I should or shouldn't. The example we'll talk about, well, those of you, I'll just give you the answer here for those that won't be in my class next week. The thing we use Christ as an example is, how did he do it? How did he go about it? What did he say? We'll talk about that next week, class. Okay. So there's other examples where Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor, told him to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Paul told this pastor, Timothy, to do that. So, again, I'm just going back. I'm not trying to say, look, a whole bunch of you are wrong, but I saw when I asked the question the first time, I saw several people going, oh, no, you should never. Well, I've given you some New Testament examples. Does that change your answer? Maybe there's cases where we need to, right? How about in the Old Testament? I mean, there's a couple others in the New Testament. We talked about them last week. How about in the Old Testament? I have some examples here of ones that I found. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time dwelling on it. But in 2 Samuel chapter 12, hopefully those of you are familiar with the story of David committing adultery with Bathsheba and then essentially murdering her husband Uriah, right? That's in 2 Samuel 12. What happens there is that Nathan actually confronts David about his sin with Bathsheba and about the murder of Uriah. Again, I'm not going to go back and read it. You guys can read that yourself. But it's another example of a believer, in this case Nathan, confronting the king, David, about a character flaw. 2 Samuel 19, Joab tells David that he cares more. This is after his son Absalom has rebelled and is fighting against David, trying to take the kingdom. And Absalom, in one of the battles, if you remember, is killed. And David begins to mourn after the battle. And Joab confronts him and tells him, David, I'm paraphrasing, David, you care more for Absalom than you do for the people that fought for you. And your son was a rebellious son. Again, that's just another example of somebody rebuking, in this case, his king, Joab, rebuking his king for something that was a character flaw. In 2 Samuel 28, again, Joab warned David. Remember, David decided to number Israel and Judah. Well, Joab actually rebuked David and told him not to do that. But then David commanded him to go about doing that anyway. So, again, just more examples. And in those examples, I think we can see that at least the conclusion I think you can draw from that is that there are times that a believer needs to rebuke another believer. So the answer is yes, at least sometimes. Okay? Now, hopefully that's shown some of you who said no. I saw several people going, oh, no. Well, there are times. Okay, so if the answer is yes, I think you need to ask yourself a whole bunch of questions before you act on that. Okay? And this is where the class discussion thing. I won't ask anybody to respond. As a matter of fact, we're better off if we don't in this case. But I want you all to think of something, okay? No pointing, no calling out names. All right. I want you to think of a character flaw of your own. Just think of one. I'm sure it won't take too long. It doesn't with me, and I'm sure most of you are the same. You can think of something in your character that your Christian character that you would like to be changed. You know that, and probably some other people know that. Now I want you to think of the last person on earth you want to come up to you and talk to you about that thing. Okay? There are people, I think you'll admit, that you don't want to confront you about that flaw, whatever that flaw was that you just thought of. But now can you think of somebody that could approach you and you would appreciate them doing that? There's probably somebody. So what's the difference? This is where I do want a little bit of class participation. You guys can, what's the difference between the person, don't start pointing out people. I'm saying, what is the difference between somebody that you don't want to confront you about your character flaw and somebody that you don't mind if they do? Rebecca?
How short is a person who really knows they love you and you're not going to jeopardize the relationship over this issue? Mm-hmm.
Right. That's the key thing right there. They have to, their love for you, right? That's what it is. You don't want somebody that doesn't love you. I mean, if let me get a couple more answers. Go ahead, Tracy. Some people just don't know how to speak to you about difficult things. That's in the part of the lesson where we get to how do we go about doing this. Bill, do you have something? Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, specifically, when it comes down to the difference between somebody that that person better not talk to me about that, okay, versus... You know, if that person approached me and said something to me, I'd really have to pay some attention to this flaw that I know I have. But what it really comes down to, this is just the way I phrased it, is if I'm going to, again, the question is if I see a character flaw in others, should I try to correct them? If I'm going to do that, I need to know what my motivation is. I think what it comes down to, between the person that you don't want to approach you and the person that you don't mind if they do, is what their motivation is. Rebecca said, do they love me? Yeah. Or is it, you know, how common are these? These are the first things that come to my mind, unfortunately, when I think about these questions. Oh, goody, I get to tell so-and-so that they aren't so perfect after all. That's not a good motivation. You don't want that person coming to you, do you? Okay, here's my chance to get back at that guy for making me look bad that time. Okay, another bad motivation. How about, man, I am so tired of that. It's about time someone straightened him out. This has annoyed me for the last time. Bad motivation, right? That doesn't mean that the person doesn't have a character flaw that needs to be corrected. That means that you, as the person that needs to talk to them, maybe, if those are your motivations, forget it. The answer is no. Okay? The only way... And Rebecca hit it right off the bat. The only way that you should consider approaching somebody else about their character flaws is if that person says to themselves, or you're the person that wants to approach somebody, if you say, you know, that person really seems to be on a path away from God, maybe I can help them get pointed back in the right direction because I love them. Because that's what I think we see in Nathan here talking to David. He loved David. He knew David was getting away from God and in fact jeopardizing the nation. So he went and confronted David. I think his motivation there was exactly that. It was that he was being led by God. As a matter of fact, it actually says in 2 Samuel 12, the first verse in that story says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." The Lord sent him. So this is the indication, I believe. Those of you that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know, if you're out walking around a shopping mall, have you ever had that where God says to you through the Holy Spirit, you know, you really need to talk to that person? Yeah, witness to them, give them a track, whatever it might be. Well, some people aren't sensitive to that. Some people are. Those that are, you know what I mean. But that's how you know if you're being led by the Holy Spirit is if your motivation is love. Because I want that person to be closer to God. That's not the example of, you know, I've heard pastor say things like that, and you know what he means by it when he says, you know, we talk about gossiping and that kind of thing where somebody calls somebody else and says, oh, I just want you to know this so that you can pray for them. You're not going to approach somebody and talk to them and then just say, well, I really just want you to be closer to God. No. It better truly be your motivation or the answer to do I try and correct somebody's character flaw is no. Your motivation has to be love. Okay, that's the first question, right? That was only the first one. Is my motivation correct? The second one, am I qualified to speak about that subject? Whatever the character flaw is you see in somebody else, are you qualified to address that? By that, I mean, do I know what's right in that case? Do I know what God has to say about it? Do I have scriptures that I can say, you know, this is really what God wants you to be doing here? Not, well, you know, I really hate it when you do this. You're back to that other motivation, right? How about, is my life right with God in that area? I don't mean am I perfect, because none of us are perfect, but we've established that there are times that we need to approach each other about our character flaws. So if you don't have, you can't be perfect, we know that, except we're made perfect in Christ, as we talked about a little bit. I know my character is not perfect, but maybe I have something or an area where I can help somebody that has a flaw that maybe I don't have, or that I used to have that I got straightened out. An example of this, and I don't want to waste a lot of time with stories. There's some neat things you learn in life. As a teenager, one of the things I noticed about my dad was that he was always in a rush. Everything. Come on, we gotta go. Come on, let's go. I picked that up. Kaylee's laughing. My dad always used to do that. And as a teenager, I was constantly saying, "Oh, come on, Dad, you just need to chill out. You just need to just, you know, take a breath, relax. you stop being in a rush all the time." Well, as a teenager, I didn't know why he was in a rush all the time. It turns out, you know, my dad was a very, very busy guy. And when it was time to take the trash to the dump, he wanted me and my brothers to get the trash into our station wagon and get to the dump and back so that he could go on and do the other things he needed to do all day long. So, you know, how teenagers are, we were moving slow. boys get the trash in the station wagon. Yeah, okay, yeah. We dragged our feet. And my dad's out there saying, come on, we gotta go. And I'm saying, oh, come on, Dad, you just gotta relax. I am a 14-year-old kid, giving my dad advice on one of his character flaws. Now, as we got the trash finally in the station wagon, and my dad got in the station wagon and started the car and threw it in reverse and backed up out of the garage, he hit the other car, which was right behind it. He backed right into the side of it, you know, crumpled both cars. And what does the 14-year-old kid say? "See? I told you. you shouldn't really be in a rush. Well, it's just a little funny story. It's a true story that actually happened. But the point is this. Was I, as a 14-year-old kid, qualified to address my dad and his character flaw? No. I wasn't in a position that I should have been doing that. I, of course, didn't know better. Okay, next question that you want to ask yourself. We've got a couple of them. What is my motivation to correct the character flaw I see in somebody else? Okay. And all of these are, there's a point at which, as I've said, there's a point at which you're going to say, well, if my motivation is not right, what do you need to do? Do you don't go and address the person if your motivation is not right, but there's something you got to do. What is that? How about change of motivation? That's your flaw, okay? Which comes into this next one. What happens? These are the questions. I was covering those. What if my motivation to correct the character flaw? What is my motivation to correct that in somebody else? Am I qualified to speak about the subject? 3, how will I react when the person points out a character flaw of mine in retaliation? Right? Does anybody here react like that sometimes? You know? Brother Dan, you know, there's this thing that we need to talk about something. Why don't we go to dinner somewhere and we can talk about this thing? We go to dinner. I've got him out privately and I say, Dan, you know, you've got this thing that you need to straighten out. What's Dan's reaction likely going to be? Not because it's Dan, but because he's human. He's going to say, well, you're one to talk. You got this other thing. Who are you, right? What's your reaction going to be then? What is your reaction then? Offense, right? Turn to Luke chapter 7. I'll show you something. This is what happens in my class all the time. I'm going to run out of time. We're not even through the first thing. Luke chapter 7, verse 41. Oops, I wrote down the wrong verse here. That's not the one I wanted. Bear with me for 1 second. Well, I'm sorry, I wrote down the wrong verse, but what I was looking for, if those of you that know the Bible, where exactly things are, right off the bat, the verse about removing the beam from your own eye. I'm sorry? 6? Yes, 6. It's chapter 6, Luke 6:41. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Yeah, it's also in Matthew. That's what I was looking for. I knew it was there too. But you're all familiar with that verse and exactly what that means. But when you come to this point of thinking about addressing someone else about their character flaw, you better be ready to react properly, which is with God's grace, understanding that you have your own flaws. And if that person points it out, you know what? You don't say, well, that's one of those people I didn't want to hear that from. Here's the rule. You basically rebuke and reprove people when you're led by the Holy Spirit, but you take it from all sources and consider it. Right? From all sources. I mean, even if it's somebody that really just, you need to take it humbly. Okay? With humility, as I said, using the grace of God. That's how you want to react. Okay, number 4, and then I'm going to have to be done. We didn't even finish this first one. Again, it's one of the things to ask yourself when you're considering approaching someone else about their character flaw is, will the person with the flaw receive what I have to say? When we go out and give the gospel, you don't worry about that, do you? Because God's commanded us. We're supposed to preach the gospel. We're supposed to tell others about Christ. when you're addressing a person specifically about a character flaw that they have in their Christian character, it's a little different. You need to decide if that person will at least receive it. I did not say, will they be glad about it? Because they probably won't, to begin with. There's some verses, however, in the Bible. Funny how that works. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. He that rebukes a man afterwards shall have more favor than he that flattereth with a tongue. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. How about this? Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee, but rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. But it doesn't say that, but probably not right up front. You know? So, this is the kind of thing that is dangerous to do, kind of as a temporary, for those of you that don't sit in my class. I guess the point is this. All I can tell you folks, and we'll talk to the rest, to the young adults, we'll talk next week, but when it comes to character flaws you see in other people, there are times when we're supposed to rebuke and reprove one another. That exists. We are supposed to do that. You are supposed to do that only when led by the Holy Spirit. And before you do it, you better ask yourself at least these four questions that we just went over. Okay? Four questions. One, what's my motivation? Your indication that you're led by the Holy Spirit is that you're doing it in love. Two, am I qualified to speak about that subject? Doesn't mean that you're perfect. It means that I can speak to somebody about that with some authority. Especially those of you that have been through the process of having a flaw that you have then, with God's help, straightened out in your life. That gives you all kinds of authority to talk to other people about that. Number three, how will you react when the person points out a character flaw of yours? You better be ready for that because it will likely happen. And number four, is the person going to receive what I have to say? Again, not will they be glad. But the Bible does tell us, and remember we're talking about Christian character, it says in Proverbs 10:17, he that refuseth reproof erreth. So if you're addressing another Christian, and that Christian is refusing reproof, they're erring in that. And they need to understand that. Now, I'm not saying get in all kinds of arguments and fights about these things. I'm saying you just got to be very careful how you do it. And that's the next question. How do you go about doing it? And if you want to know, come to my class next week, because we'll open it up to anybody that's even over 30. I probably shouldn't do that without asking Pastor first. But let's pray, and we'll be done.